الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our مذاكرة, our review of that which has preceded of the explanation of the book Fadl al-Islam, the virtue of al-Islam, the explanation by the noble scholar and Sheikh Muhammad in Ramazan al-Hajri, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala. And just as a reminder, majalis al-ilm takhtarif, that the gatherings of knowledge, they differ. Certain gatherings are different than others. And from that, these gatherings here, majalis al-mudhakara, the gatherings of review and going over knowledge together. So these gatherings are not like the normal daily classes where a specific text is studied and the people, they will be silent and listen and take notes and attempt to benefit in this manner, and the teacher, he will teach the work and the text and mention the rulings and the benefits related to the issues, so on and so forth, while the people are listening. Rather, the gatherings of review and going over the knowledge, there's participation from the people. There's participation between the teacher and the students and the likes. And likewise, these gatherings are a little bit more easy, a little bit more easygoing and not as serious as the normal classes or normal gatherings. And from this, the scholars of hadith, whenever they would sit in gatherings called majalis al-tahdith or majalis al-sama', the gatherings, whenever the teacher would come to narrate to them the narrations that he has with the chain, then the teacher would be very serious and so would the students. Then the teacher would be very serious and so would the students, to the extent that no one would even laugh, rather no one would even dare laugh, especially if the great scholars of hadith were present, like Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, or Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and the likes like this, they would be very serious. And we have seen in our previous classes together, even Imam Malik, rahimahullah, if he came out to narrate the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would prepare himself. He would clean his body and his clothing and put on perfume, and he would put on the nice garments and his hat in the proper manner, and he would come out in this manner and say, "Uwaqiru haditha Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I show honor and respect to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So this is one type of gathering. Another type is called majalis al-mudhakara. And this would be whenever the people of knowledge, they would meet together, but not with this intention to take narrations as a means of narrating, but rather to benefit from one another. But rather to benefit from one another. And they would narrate back and forth to each other the narrations, and likewise mention the benefits together. And these narrations that one would hear, even if it's from his teacher and a gathering of mudhakara, he would not narrate them in the same manner as if he heard it from his teacher directly. And this is one of the reasons why we find the type of hadith called al-mu'allaq, al-hadith al-mu'allaq, a hadith that the narrator who narrates the hadith, the scholar who's mentioning the hadith, like al-Bukhari, for example, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he will mention this particular narration, but he will not mention it with the chain entirely. He will only mention a portion of the chain, and he will intentionally cut the chain so that that narration would not be considered from Sahih al-Bukhari, because Sahih al-Bukhari is only, it's all about narrations that are authentically, that are connected and are authentic on the condition of Bukhari rahimahullah. So he would cut the chain intentionally and not mention the whole chain so that it would not be considered from the original work. But he would likewise want to mention the narration for a particular benefit or interpretation or mention of a ruling. So this is how he would do it. But from the reason why he would do that is because even if the narration was on the condition that he had, then possibly he heard it in the gathering of mudhakara, and he didn't hear it with the intention of learning it from his teacher, or his teacher did not mention it to him directly with the intention of teaching him that so that he can carry it on with the chain to others. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, in the likes of these gatherings, then alhamdulillah, it's not similar like the normal classes. So it's a little more light, it's a little more easy, and everyone is encouraged to participate. And if you have a benefit, alhamdulillah, and even if you don't remember entirely or there's a small mistake and the likes like this, it's not a problem. Inshallah, we will all benefit. And the likes, inshallah, we will all benefit in this manner and the likes. Barakallahu fikum. So the classes today and tomorrow, inshallah, will be in this manner. Like yesterday, mudhakara. And that which is in the majalis of mudhakara is much light, much easier, much easygoing. Alhamdulillah, and we review together. Barakallahu fikum. من يبدأ بنا أها نعم أها The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, that you begin with the small knowledge before the big knowledge, that you learn a little by little, and this is the proper manner of learning, and this is a sign of a good intention from someone who truly wants to learn. And the people of knowledge, likewise, they mention about this issue in our days, if someone was in kindergarten and he tried to go to fourth grade classes, what would they say to him? If somebody was in grade school and he wanted to go into high school, he did not graduate grade school yet, and then he thinks he's going to go into high school, or somebody who's in the eighth grade and he's going to try to go into college, enter into college, what would they say to him? Go back and finish the levels. You have to go. They would not allow that. Whether they would consider him a fool. What's wrong with you? Go back and finish grade school. Go back and finish middle school. Go back and finish high school. Bring your paperwork that you're qualified. Then we'll look at entering you into, we'll look at enrolling you into college, so on and so forth. So same thing like this, the same understanding, but in the religion. With the religious knowledge, you don't jump, you can't skip, steps, you can't go forward in a place that you're not qualified for. And those who do that, this is a sign that they're hasty, and the hasty one, he will not benefit. And this is also a sign that there's a problem with sincerity, and they're trying to get somewhere they do not belong. So the one who is sincere, he will strive to learn properly and build the foundation for himself, first and foremost. And he will not want to miss out on anything. So he will not be skipping stages. Barakallahu fiq nam. Uh-huh. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh, he mentioned that in the book here that we studied, there's approximately 100 evidences. And the statement of the author himself only came three places throughout the book, other than the chapter titles. So no doubt the author, he entitled the book, Fadl Islam. And then he brought the chapter headings. And after that, there's nothing else except for ayat, al-ayat al-Qur'aniyya, Qur'anic verses, what al-hadith al-Nabawiyya, prophetic narrations, what athar al-Salafiyya, and the narrations from the companions and tabi'een. This is the narration of Mujahid, right? And Anabul Ariya. Other than that, it's all companions. Likewise, there was a comment from two comments from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And other than that, this is the ayat in the Quran, and this is the Quran and the hadith and narrations of the Sahaba. And the author himself, he only mentioned three brief sentences. And he advises and admonishments to ponder over that which has proceeded from those statements. To ponder over that, to think deeply about that which has proceeded from those statements. Allahu Akbar. Naam. Uh-huh. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh, he mentioned about this, Hafidhullah, that this here is a distinguishing trait of the people of the Sunnah. Whenever they speak about the religion, whenever the author works specifically, that it begins in this manner. Allah, he said this in his book. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that in this manner. It's all evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And then it's after that supported by the understanding of the companions and those after them from the tabi'in radiallahu anhum. And this is how this particular work was. Many pages passed by before that very first statement was even mentioned from the author himself. As for the way of the people of innovation or the people of desires, maybe you'll read 20 pages before you actually find a verse or come across an evidence from the book or from the sunnah. And there was the summarized benefit from that, and that is to summarize that methodology. What is it? رَبْطُ الْخَلْقِ بِالْحَقِّ رَبْطُ الْخَلْقِ بِالْحَقِّ. That he said this is in this manner, you connect the people to the truth. So Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and those upon his way from those after him and those before him, they connect the people to the evidence. They connect the people to the Quran and the Sunnah. They do not connect the people to themselves. They do not connect the people to their statements. They do not connect the people to their way. They do not call the people to themselves. Rather, they call the people to the book and the Sunnah. Don't follow me because I say it. Ta'ammal. Ponder over that which has been mentioned. This is even what he mentioned. Ponder over these verses. Ponder especially over the statement of the Prophet, what I was upon in my companions. What I was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my companions. Ponder, think about this. Think about these evidences here. And these they all clarify each other. Now, after this, what do you say? What do you think now about the way that you were upon before? So this is connecting the people to the truth, connecting the people to the evidence, not connecting the people to personalities, not connecting the people to personalities. These are fundamental principles from the al-manhaj al-salafi that many people are unaware of, and they claim salafiyah. Now, the evidence, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that whoever introduces into this religion that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. So the one who introduces innovation, his action is rejected. His innovation and his deeds are rejected. The other wording, مَنْ عَمِلَ أَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Likewise, the one who does a deed that's not in accordance to our affairs, it will be rejected. The Shaykh, he mentioned, so المخترع للبدع المحدث لها يعني عمله مردود والعامل بها المتابع له عمله مردود. The one who introduces the innovation, his actions are rejected, and the one who follows the one who introduced the innovation, his actions are rejected. Now, Allah al-Musta'an. He mentioned a great benefit. One of the last benefits that came close to the last benefits, yani on the last day, that he said, حَفِظُهُ Allah, that there's a difference. فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ مَنْ يَخْدِيمُ الْإِسْلَامُ وَمَنْ يَسْتَخْدِيمُ الْإِسْلَامُ. There's a difference between the one who serves al-Islam and the one who uses al-Islam. So the people who serve al-Islam, they're the people who benefit. They're the people who strive to benefit the believers. They seek knowledge, they learn, they carry that knowledge with a true intention. They seek knowledge with a pure intention to benefit themselves, and likewise after that to help others. And they serve the ummah, and they serve the knowledge by spreading it and teaching it and being patient with the people and bearing the harms of the people and the likes, and going through the difficulties of carrying the knowledge and teaching the knowledge and spreading the knowledge and whatever they can do to help in the service of al-Islam and the spread of the Quran and the Sunnah in defense of the true creed and the proper belief. These people, they're serving at Islam. They'll serve Islam with their wealth, with their time, with their honor, with their life, with their knowledge, with their soul. Whatever they have, they'll give it up for the sake of Allah and in defense and protection and the spread of the deen of Allah. This is called, this one he says, man yakhdimu al-Islam. He's the one who's serving at Islam. And then there's others who outwardly, maybe they seem to do the same thing, but in reality, they're not serving Islam. They're using Islam to serve themselves. They'll have knowledge, or how they have position, or they'll have rank, or they'll have connections in the likes like this, and they'll use that for their personal gain. And they'll use that for their individual come up. And they will put the knowledge below them and Muslims below them and use them like slaves. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is great, great failure. And this person here brings great, great problems and troubles and causes much chaos and confusion. And this is something that we have seen in these days. نَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ وَالسَّلَامَةَ. For example, the ones who use al-Islam and do not serve al-Islam, whenever the likes of a great scholar comes, they will try to call the people away from that scholar to them. The clear signs, in the, but and the slogan that they claim, نَحْنُ مَا الْكِبَارُ, نَحْنُ مَا الْكِبَارُ, نَحْنُ مَا الْعُلَمَاءُ, and they manage to get somebody to praise them, and then the people follow behind them like shackles on their necks. And then they leave off the likes of these gatherings and do not benefit and never get to actually see a scholar with their eyes. This is a great problem. May Allah rectify the affairs and save us and our community and our loved ones from their fitin. Now, this is something to think about. You never use Islam. Don't ever do that. We will hate you to death. This is disgusting and filthy and lowly that you will pretend to be righteous and then really you just want to serve yourself. You will pretend to defend the sunnah and raise the tawheed and really you're just trying to raise yourself and use the people of tawheed and the sunnah to stand on their backs. Wadiyadhi billah, this is pathetic. This is wallahi the lowest of the low. This is from the lowest of the low. Wallahu musta'an. Naam. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every child is born upon the natural disposition. The فطرة, he said, الخلقة التي خلق الله الناس عليها. This is also what is found in the tafsir of that, of Tabari. And he mentioned that that means that Islam. The interpretation the Sheikh mentioned is the exact interpretation you will find in tafsir al-Tabari. And also you will find that same interpretation of the verse that's in the book in Muhsin Khan, in the translation of Muhsin Khan and Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, and they reference back to al-Tabari, and because it's saying the khilqa, and meaning al-Islam, and because that's the tafsir of al-Tabari. Naam, so there was a benefit there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every child is born upon the fitrah, upon the natural disposition of al-Islam. So then his parents make him a Jew or a Christian or a Magi. So he didn't say, or he makes him a Muslim. Why? He's already a Muslim. He's already upon the fitrah is at Islam. So they're the ones who's changing it. What was that benefit related to? There was a question that this is the answer to. But there's a question that this was the answer to. This was from the answer. لماذا انحرف الناس? Why did the people deviate? How did the people deviate? Do you remember the question? And he asked the question and took us on a long journey and came back, and this is how they deviated. Because they're the outside sources. He says, "Anta as-sabab lam tusaffi masadirak." You're the reason. You did not purify the sources that you gain knowledge from. So you're the reason. Is there's the aql and the fitrah and the naql. So if a person, he's taking his information, he's sitting, he's got mujalasa, he's sitting with the people of desires or innovation, he's sitting with the people of sin and transgression, he's sitting with the people who got weak deen, then he's going to be affected by that. It's going to change the way he thinks. Likewise, if he reads the articles and the books and the texts of the people of innovation or the people of doubts or the people of sin and transgression or the people of lewdness. And the likes like this is going to go, it's going to change his mind and the way that he thinks. And likewise, if he listens to those people of innovation or those people of deviation or the people with doubts, or if he listens to the people who call to sin and disobedience, or the people who are lewd and foul and lowly in their tongue and their speech, if he listens to them, it's going to change the way he thinks. The one who gets affected to the extent of changing the way he thinks, this is how the fitrah becomes changed. He can change his fitrah. He can start to think so wrong that what everybody agrees is bitter, he'll think it's sweet. What everybody agrees is white, he'll think it's red, like the Sheikh said. That's how because the fitrah changed now. The fitrah has changed, it become corrupted. So everything that everybody with a sound mind knows that it's lowly, it's filthy, it's no good, he will start to like it. and prefer it. You'll start to like it and prefer it. But so that comes from those three things, listening and reading and sitting in the company of others. So that was the proof for that, because the child is born upon the fitrah. He's born upon the fitrah. This is why, barakallahu fikum, this narration has come a lot, especially in the sisters' class. Especially in the sisters' class, because we've just been doing the chapter of tarbiyat al-awlad. And this is of utmost importance to realize we have to protect the fitrah of our children. And from the greatest means, rather from the means, like the shaykh, he said, that the fitrah becomes corrupted, is that we let them listen to people that you're not supposed to let them listen to, or you let them read that which they're not supposed to read, or you let them be in the company of those who they're not supposed to be in the company of. So how about those people who put their child in the hands of the disbelievers? What kind of company is that? So that they can read the works of the disbelievers. What kind of company is that? So they can sit in the company of the children of the disbelievers. They're finished. They're finished. You understand? All three affairs happen now, and it's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault. It's the parents who make him a Jew. It's the parents who make him a Christian. Even if the parent didn't call him himself, he put him in the hands of those who do that. He put him in the hands of those who do that. So we have to really protect our fitrah by protecting what we listen to and what we read and who we sit with. And those under our care likewise. Those under our care likewise. You can't just let them read whatever or sit with whoever or talk or listen to whoever. This is not the way. This is not Salafiyya fi shay. It's not even Islam, and even this is not the pure deen for nothing. No, that's not how you do it. Ibn Sirin, he put his fingers in his ears. So how about you thinking that, oh, they're going to have science class and talk about Darwinism? What are we going to do then? Put your fingers in, you know, how would you put them there in the first place? How would you put them there in the first place? Yani Allah al-Mustan. Another benefit. Before we get lost on this one. Na'am Abdul Hakim. Al-Hawatif al-Dhakiyya. Tahmiluha unas ghabiyya. That there's smartphones that dumb people carry around, stupid people carry around. There's stupid people carrying around smartphones. Huh? Yeah, that's right. Allahu musta'an. This is very important, wallah. This is very important. This goes back to our previous classes before the Dora. And the Shaykh, he mentioned the narration too, and the brother, he mentioned it yesterday, the Hadith of Muawiyah, that whoever Allah wants good for, he'll grant him understanding in the religion. From the understanding in the religion, in our day, is having understanding of the phone and understanding of the internet and how to use them without falling into transgression, without falling into sin, without being affected by the shubuhat, without being affected by the shahawat. Some people, they use the phone in the shahawat only, almost always. Some people, they use the phone and the shubuhat come to them from their phone. That's what they listen to, read, and that's how they communicate and sit in gatherings, and from the phone. And others, they're just very negligent, and then they bring the phone in the masjid and the music rings on it. You have to have fiqh in the deen. Music is haram. And it's haram to have your ringtone music. And it's even more haram to bring that ringtone in the masjid and let it go off. Music. And even more haram when we're in the prayer. Even more haram when we're in sujood. Wadiyadhu billah. Wadiyadhu billah. So even if it's not music, it's not allowed to disturb the believers. And so especially if it's music. So these ringtones, they have to be checked with the legislation, with fiqh in the deen. With fiqh in the deen, you have to have fiqh in the deen. If you're going to have a cell phone and you don't have fiqh in the deen, it will destroy you. Some people, I heard this from Sheikh Abdul Razak one time, a long time ago, when he was explaining another book by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. When I was in Medina, it was the book of Tafsir Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab in Surah the Sharh Surah An-Nahl. He said that sometimes some people, they rejoice over their destruction. And he made the example of the phone. He said sometimes a person, he will get a new phone, and if you get a new phone, what happens? Somebody, he got the new iPhone 15, right? What happens? He's happy. He's like, oh, I got this brand new phone. He's happy. He's so, yani, it's really, yani, he's extremely happy about the issue. But little did he know that phone right there will be the means for his destruction, his loss, and his failure. Because he doesn't have fiqh in the deen. He's going to use the phone in that which is impermissible, in that which is haram, to follow his desires, to follow his whims, with no reins, no remembrance of Allah, no tawheed. No tawheed, that tawheed, asma'i wa sifat, goes out the window when he gets his phone in his hand, when he's by himself especially. when the lights are off in his room and his clothes, but the tawheed asma wa sifat goes out the window. And he just falls into his desires, into his whims, talks with whoever, text whoever, Facebook whoever, FaceTime whoever, all of that, and he's happy about it. My new phone. No, we have to have wallahi fiqh in the deen with the phone, with ourselves first and foremost, and with our children. That's very important. Barakallah fiqh. What about the hadith of the hold? What about the hadith of the hold? There were some great benefits that came about that. Who knows the hadith of the hold? Any in general? The ummah of Muhammad, that's the word. The ummah, what does that mean? The followers of Prophet Muhammad. So they're going to come on that day? Before that. How is it? He's going to know them. How is he going to know them? From the marks of the wudu and the actions of worship. But which actions of worship? Al-ibadat? Al-sahihah. He said, min athari al-ibadat al-sahihah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's going to know those followers from his ummah who came after him, whom he did not meet. He will know them. Min athar al-ibadat al-sahihah. He will know them from the traces of the correct actions of worship. I mean. But the first group, not the second. Because all of them are included. The ummah of Muhammad. The ummah of Muhammad is going to come to the hold. And the Prophet is going to know all of them. But some of them, what's going to happen, like you just mentioned, then the angels are going to come and take a group of them away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recognized them from the traces of those righteous actions that were correctly performed. And he'll defend them. Ummati, ummati, ashabi, ashabi. In some verses, some wordings, ikhwati, ikhwati. My companions, my brothers, yani meaning my followers. And then they're going to say that, إِنَّكَ لَتَدْرِمَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what they introduced after you, or they changed, or they exchanged in religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, سُحْقًا لِمَنْ بَدَّلَ وَغَيْرَ. Far, cast away, far off for the one who changed or exchanged the religion. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recognized them by way of the traces of the actions of worship that were correct. So what's the benefit from that? So this means that? Oh, that number one. Okay, the Prophet, he doesn't know the unseen. But with regards to this here, al-Islam, this is Yaqub, that they're Muslims. And that they're Muslims, the traces and the effects of the righteous actions of worship that were performed correctly, they stay with the people of innovation. The Prophet, he knows them. He recognized them by way of that. So those effects, those traces, they remain with them. They're from his ummah. They're inside the fold of Islam, but they're being taken away from the hold because they're outside the fold of the sunnah. They're outside of the fold of the sunnah. What's the evidence they're inside of the fold of Islam from here? Because the traces of the ibadat that were correct are still there. So, but they're taken away and cast into the fire. Right? So he said here that لَا تَقْتَرُوا بِالْعِبَادَاتِ الصَّحِيحَةِ مَعَ الْمُخَالَفَاتِ الصَّرِيحَةِ. Do not be deceived by the correct actions of worship along with clear contradictions to the sunnah. So the people of innovation, those whom their innovation is lesser than shirk, they're Muslims. So they have the promise of the Muslims. They have what's upon them, and what's against them is what's upon and against every Muslim. You understand this? So they're still Muslims. But they have some actions of worship that were correct. They have some actions of worship that were accepted. And the traces of that remain with him until the day of judgment. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that they're his followers from them. Yet they are taken away from the hold, and they will not get to drink. And after that, Allah knows best what would happen to these people. And if those who will be in the, and he said, "Taftariku ummati, kulluha fi an-nar." These are the ones that's going to be in the fire. All my ummah is going to divide. All of them are in the fire. This is from those who are going to be in the fire. Why? لا تغتروا بالعبادات الصحيحة مع المخالفات الأقائدية والمنهجية الصريحة. Do not be deceived by those correct actions of worship that along with opposition clearly and creed and methodology to the Sunnah. So that's the outcome of those people. So in these days, we should not be deceived if we see Jama'at and they have some good actions of worship sometimes, or there's some good effects coming along with them. And they have faith with them. They're Muslims, those who do not, you know, those who are actually Muslims from them. Some of them are extreme and grave worshippers, no doubt. That's what they're known for. But not all of them do that. Not all. So the ones who are Muslims, they have a Muslim. Every Muslim has good with him, or he would not be a Muslim. So that goodness that he has, we should not be deceived by that if he's clearly opposing the Sunnah and creed or methodology. And creed or methodology, we should not, he prays all night, or he's crying in the prayer, or he said he's this and he's that, or he's going here and calling, or he's serving the people. He's like, don't be deceived by all of that. We cannot be deceived by, or the Ikhwan Muslimun, or whoever else, the ISIS and the likes like this, they claim that jihad, they're fighting for Allahu Akbar. But they're in clear contradictions to this text of the Quran and the Sunnah. So we will not go to extremes and take them out of Islam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they're from Islam. But we will not water it down likewise and say, there are brothers in the Sunnah. The Prophet, he said they're from his ummah, meaning they're in the fold of Islam, but the Prophet took them out of the Sunnah. They're not from, they're not following his way. They're not following his way. Naam. The Khawarij. The Khawarij. The description of the Khawarij. Sahih. The Khawarij. The description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Khawarij, and they recite the Quran. But it doesn't go beyond their throats. The Shaykh, he says, لَا تَبْلُغُوا أُقُولُهُمْ فَتَفْهَمُونَ. It doesn't go into their minds till they comprehend and understand properly. وَلَا تَدْقُلُوا قُلُوبَهُمْ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. It doesn't go into their hearts likewise until they believe the proper belief. And even if some of them are Muslims, their faith is weak and deficient. And there was a benefit from this likewise. And that this differing that comes, and they're the first to differ. The first of those differing that would occur, the first of that was from the Khawarij. And whenever Adi, he told Ibn Abbas to go to debate them, radiallahu anhum, what did he say? لا تناظرهم بالقرآن. Don't debate with them with the Quran, because they are people of the Quran. They're people of the Quran. But and where did they go wrong? They didn't go wrong with the Quran directly. They went wrong with the Sunnah. He said, ناظرهم بالسنة. And this is also another, Allahu Akbar, so many great benefits he tied together for us in just such a brief period, that whenever we address the people, Al-Hiwar Hiwaran, the dialogue about deen is two types. The dialogue with the non-Muslims. And this dialogue, we talk to them about Quran and Sunnah. When we talk about that, when we have dialogue about the non with the non-Muslims, with the Christians, Jews, and the pagans, we say Quran Sunnah. But when we have dialogue with the Muslims, those who misunderstand, those we talk to them with the Sunnah. We correct them with the Sunnah. We try to correct the disbelievers with the Quran and the Sunnah. But as for the believers, the way to correct their mistakes is from the Sunnah. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسْيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Indeed, whoever lives from amongst you, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسْيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives amongst you after me, he's going to see much different. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. فَسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاء الرَّاشِدِينَ. Hold fast to my Sunnah and the Sunnah my Khulafa. He didn't say, the Shaykh, he mentioned this. He didn't say فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. He didn't say hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's what is intended. You cannot truly hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah except by holding fast to the Sunnah. And holding fast to the Sunnah, you will be holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. So that's what is intended, because they already believe in the Quran, but they made a mistake and they erred in that understanding of the Quran. And the way to check that understanding is having an understanding that is clarified in the Sunnah and the Sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. Allahu Akbar. Naam. The ummah, the word ummah, ummatu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has two understandings, ummatu da'wa, ummatu al-ijaba. We covered this many times, alhamdulillah, in the book of Tawheed. We covered it recently, I think, alhamdulillah, in Sharh Khutbat al-Hajah. خطبة الحاجة. In any case, the ummah is two types. Ummah to da'wah, this includes everyone from the jinn and mankind after the coming of Prophet. They're all, the da'wah, the propagation, the call to al-Islam, they're all addressed with that. They're all responsible for that. They're all held accountable for that. And then from them, from the jinn and mankind after the coming of the Prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are those who believed in him and followed him. And they are called ummatu al-ijaba. Ummatu al-ijaba. Naam. And Ummat Dawah, they refuse to enter paradise by refusing to accept Islam. And Ummat Al Ijaba, those believers who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from them there are those who refuse to enter paradise. Some of them refuse to enter paradise by following desires and whims and lusts that are impermissible. Therefore, they're disobedient, and they refuse to enter paradise by disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others, they also believe and follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general. They're Muslims, but they also refuse to enter paradise because they follow the shubuhat, the doubts and the misconceptions and innovations, and they're the mubtadi'ah. And in this manner, they refuse to enter paradise. نعم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا ومن يأبى يا رسول الله. قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. حديث أبي هريرة في صحيح البخاري. ما شاء الله. نعم. الفساد ثلاثة. Corruption is in three. An external reason, an internal reason. المادة الملقات. يعني the source of the information. يعني there's an external source and an internal source, and there's the information that one he receives. All of these are means for corruption. He can be corrupted by somebody outside. That was with regards to the hadith of the fitrah. Also from inner, in the affairs inside as well, in his mind. Also from the information that he obtains. The information that he obtains. MashaAllah. Barakallahu fikum. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of that hadith we just discussed, Ali Arba'ad ibn Sariyah, radiallahu anhu, يعني فإنه من يعيش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. Then what did he say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ. The Shaykh, he mentioned great benefit here, Hafidhullah. He said تمسكوا بها, hold fast to it. He said لا يكفي التمسك, لا يكفي أن تتمسك بها. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the most beneficial descriptions. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Hold fast to it and bite onto it. Don't just bite onto it. Bite with your back teeth. Bite onto it with your back teeth, your molar teeth. Hold on fast to the sunnah of the Prophet and of the Khulafa Rashidin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhum. And not only he said it's not enough just to hold on to it, but rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose these words, and bite onto it. Hold on, hold fast to it, and bite onto it with your motor teeth. Did say just bite onto it likewise? Bite onto it, bil nawajid, the back teeth. The back teeth. What's the wisdom in this? Strongly, because you have to bite on strong. That's right. So he's saying hold on to it tight. Don't let go for nothing. Why? Why this expression here in this manner? Because Allahu Akbar. Because there's going to be a lot of distraction. There's going to be a lot of shubuhat. There's going to be a lot of people calling. He said, there's people calling me. There's calling you. They're on my minbar. They're on your minbar. They're in my masjid. They're in your masjid. They're calling you. They're trying to snatch up my kids and your my sons and your daughters. They're trying to set my sons and daughters and your sons and daughters. They're calling left and right. 72 sects deviated. All of them against you. They're trying. He said, likewise, yatafallatun. The people, they're falling off left and right. People are falling off. Yesterday he was upon the sunnah clearly, and now he fell off. Now he's misguided. Now he's misled. Now he's in sin. Now he has doubts. Now he thinks the scholars are somebody else. Somebody that just came up. New names. New names. This happened in the last 5 years. New names. Nobody ever heard of. Not in the last 10, 20 years. Because 10, 20 years ago, they were very young with shaven faces. And now there's new names. There's a group of people now in America and in the world, they follow new scholars. They follow new scholars. And the way that they do it is tricky. They say, well, so-and-so praised him. So in this manner, they guided them to leave all those scholars that we know for all these years, like Shaykh Muhammad bin Ramzan, and follow them. And all at the same time, regardless of their level in dawah or knowledge, they all became scholars. Shaykh at the same time. The one who never studied Arabic in his life, he just barely studied Arabic, and he's like stumbles and stutters, and he's a translator. And the one who's been a student for 20 years, and the one who traveled overseas, and the one who never left America, they all became Shaykh at the same time. Ya subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ma darra sahab, nabhur kirab. Inshallah, the people, they're waking up. It's all good. Naam. لا تتكلم. Oh yeah, that's another benefit. That wasn't for that one. That was for the hadith of Hudhaifa. When he said that, what do I do if there's no jama'ah? He said when the fitting come, when the trials come, you hold fast to the imam and the jama'ah. He said, what if there's no imam and no jama'ah? And he said, go and bite on a root of a tree in the mountain. Go and you leave all those different. If there's no imam and no congregation, that means there's what? Division and separation. That means there's groups and parties. So he said, leave all those groups and parties and go into the mountains and bite on a tree, the root of a tree. Why did he say bite on the root of a tree? So that you don't say anything and get involved. So that's it. You don't say anything and get involved. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Forcing your opinion on the people. And the likes like this. Naam. The means, he said, tariqatu an-najah, the means of success, savior and safety. Tariqatu an-najah, the means of safety and savior is to hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Because the minds are different. My mind and your mind is different. What you hear and I hear is different. And the way you think and I think is different. And so and your ability and my ability is different. So there's no, he said there's no one mother mind. There's no one mind that all the minds go back to that's a judge for all the other people's intellects and minds. All the people's minds, they're all different, all the way from Adam until now. Until the day of resurrection. There's no one brain, one mind, one intellect that's going to be a judge for all of everybody else's minds and intellects. So therefore, a person, that's why Ali, he said, don't debate with him with the Quran. Then the Quran, حَمَّالَةُ الْوَجُوهِ. Because the Quran carries many different understandings. They can go to the linguistic understanding, interpret it. They need to follow their desires. That's why you have to understand it with the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba, because that's the true clarification of the meaning that is intended, of the meaning that is intended. So, I mean, we could read the Quran, you could read the Quran, I could read the Quran, and maybe we'll have a whole different interpretation. Even more severe whenever somebody, he reads it in another language, it's not even the language of the Quran, and then he tries to interpret it based upon a translation that somebody else made. Then he makes his own interpretation. So no doubt, if we all did one verse and tried to make interpretation, maybe come up with different understanding, different ideas. So how are we going to know which one is right? Which one is the intended understanding? Which one is the guidance that was revealed for mankind? Hudan lil muttaqin, hudan lil nas. Which one is the proper way? There has to, Allah didn't leave us like that for nothing. Like with nothing. No, there's a way. This understanding of the Sahaba. I remember a benefit now. Jazakallah khairah. What was awwalu tanzeem takhribi fi al-Islam? Awwalu tanzeem takhribi. The first organized group organized to destroy Islam. Huh? No, this is organized. No, they didn't. The Khawarij, they thought they're defending Islam. Remember that? They went to death thinking they're defending Islam. That's how misguided they were. Abdullah ibn Saba. Abdullah ibn Saba al-Yahudi, al-Saba'iyya. He is the first one who organized an organization to destroy al-Islam. And he mentioned that the Islam, how is Islam harmed? How does the harm and weakness and deficiency come to Islam? It comes from outside in. How do the enemies? So how do the enemies come into al-Islam? And who's the من بوابة العدو? who's the gateway for the enemies of Islam to wreak havoc in the ummah? The people of innovation, they're the ones opening up the doorways for the enemies of Islam to do whatever they like. So this is how it occurred in the very beginning. They did not have the physical strength to face the Muslims. The Muslims were given great success and great victory, and they had strong armies after the death of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they toppled the two major powers, Al-Furs and Rome, at the same time almost. The two greatest powers in the world of that day, they conquered both lands almost simultaneously in a very brief period. Persians, they toppled the Persian Empire, and they brought all of their wealth back to Oman, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised. They conquered the Romans, and they brought all of their wealth, and these became Muslim lands. And Islam had great army and great authority and great command and great power and reverence likewise. And Islam is spreading through the lands, and many people, they're accepting Islam wholeheartedly. But some of those people in those lands, they did not accept Islam wholeheartedly. Rather, they accepted Islam outwardly, and inwardly they want to destroy Islam. So that now the issue of the Zanadiqa occurred. And they're the ones like Ibn Sabah. He's the one who tried to corrupt Islam from inside, spreading doubts and misconceptions. And there's a person named Susan and the Jahmiyyah. They had and Ma'bad al-Juhani, the likes like them. They had these deviant ideas that were introduced. And many of them, they were actually trying to corrupt Islam from inside because they could not do anything physically. They cannot do anything physically, so they're trying to corrupt Islam from the creed. And this is likewise how in recent history the Muslim lands were violated. And the French, whenever the French were not able to get through the Muslim lands, they brought women. You know that? They brought lewd women in and brought them into the Muslim lands in that direction until their faith became weak. And then they were taken any advantage of. This is from the tools that they used. The French, they tried to come through. The lands of the Muslims are strong. They have fortresses. They're fortified with faith, iman, and righteous deeds, and the aid and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they have strength. And then whenever that faith was weakened, they weakened their faith. They brought in women, lewd women, and they brought in doubts and shubuhat and shahawat. That's why now that the physical battle is over, but the spiritual battle remains to corrupt the creed of the Muslims and to corrupt the home of the Muslims and to corrupt the women of the Muslims and to corrupt the children of the Muslims and to corrupt them in their creed, to fill their heads with doubts and to fill their hearts with shubuhat, so that they will be far from their religion. And then, like the Sheikh said, this time he's going to be like a play toy in the hand of shaitan and do whatever he wants with them. And the disbelievers that do whatever they want. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a summarization of that process. Wallahu al-musta'an. There's a difference. فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ صِحَّةِ الدَّلِيلِ وَصِحَّةِ الْاِسْتِدْلَالِ بِالدَّلِيلِ. There's a difference between having a correct, authentic evidence and using the evidence correctly. Somebody, maybe he has an authentic, correct evidence from the Quran, the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he uses it to declare the best of mankind alive on that day to be a disbeliever, like the Khawarij. They declared Ali to be a disbeliever with a statement, "Inna al-hukmu illa lillah." They use the correct evidence for the most foul and lowly understanding. So no doubt the evidence has to be correct, but also the way the evidence is used to establish the issue and the deen has to be correct also. So somebody may use an evidence that's correct to establish a mas'ala, an issue in the religion, but he doesn't use it correctly. And the evidence that he's using does not actually indicate what he's trying to say that it does. Like the fact that it's not the judgment for Allah. Of course the judgment is for Allah, but they use that to mean that Ali is a disbeliever. You understand? They use that to mean that Ali radiallahu anhu, he's a disbeliever. The misguided deviants, the innovators, they do the same thing until this day. They do the same thing until this day. They use these evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, but they'll use them in the wrong manner. And they'll use them to indicate that which they do not indicate. They use them as proof for that which is not a proof for. It's not a proof for it. And the people who don't have strong strong foundations, they're not grounded in the principles of Al-Islam, they'll be affected by that. But the person who is grounded by in the foundations of Al-Islam, he'll be able to repel that, either in general or in detail. Either in general or in detail. We took that in Kashf al-Shubuhat. Kashf al-Shubuhat, how to repel every doubt in general, at least, at bare minimum. Naam? MashaAllah. Yes. Allahu Akbar. Ahsanta. Ahsanta ya waladi. Barakallahu feek. He mentioned the narration, if Musa was around alayhi salatu wasalam, then he would have no choice except to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other narration, if Musa was alive and you followed him, then you would go astray. And he's a prophet and messenger. You would go astray. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.